respect and fairness. And fairness is the operative word.
You can have an argument with someone. You can even argue with your spouse. And a fair argument means you stay on the argument, on the point. But once you say, and you always do this, and you dredge up everything, that's no longer fair. Fair is the key word. Okay. It means offering a seat on public transportation, a bus or a train, to one who's older or weaker. I once offered my seat on a bus to a woman that I thought was pregnant. When she told me she wasn't, I was so embarrassed, I said, I'm getting off anyways. I have to pay double car fare. The same thing would apply, not so much in Shalayim, but certainly in Manhattan, where taxis are at a premium, also offering a cab to one who's older or weaker. And I fall in the latter category, because I'm always schlepping my books. And when you hail a taxi, the taxi can't stop right there. It has to weave to the side of the road. You go, hey, got a ring to it. Hey, taxi. It can't just stop. It's got to come to the side. So I know every story has two versions, except for this one. I hailed a taxi. Hey, taxi. And it came to the side. And when it got to the side of the road, I hoisted up the box of books. And I'm running over to the cab. And a girl got into the cab and said, hey, that's my taxi. And she said, that's life. This is what I'm trying to tell you not to do. I'm kidding. Not to do. That's the wrong thing. All right. Now, I have half an hour to give you mussar. I mean, us. I'm just the shliach tzibur. I'm talking to myself as well. And to try and be efficacious, I'm going to say you hard things and soft things. That was just a warm-up. We've come to a hard one. Now, you may look at me as an old fuddy-duddy, even though I'm just 27. But I was not born with a cell phone attached to my ear. I guess someone's going to call me now. All right. If I can create a new term, I want to instill the idea of cell phone decorum. There are times that a cell phone is not appropriate. I've been at funerals where a cell phone goes off. Now, I'm aware of the fact sometimes you forget to turn off your phone. Did you ever notice that a funeral is always the jumpiest tune? It's always the monsters, the nigga that. So, okay, so the phone goes off. But what I'll never get is how people take the call. I was discussing this at the Shabbos table, and my kid said it was probably a doctor. So I said, I don't think that 15-year-old girl is a doctor. I was at a funeral this past summer, a woman from America, hearing the funeral. The guy next to me, 5 times around, the phone went off. It wasn't on silent. It went off. And I was giving him devil eyes, you know, dagger eyes the whole time. Finally, after 5 times, he decided he's going to talk about what he's going to have for breakfast outside. And what I also don't get, if the phone goes off, this should be a message from the rooftops to everyone else, turn off your phone. Why is it that another phone rings, another phone rings, another phone rings? It's not appropriate there. I mean, I hope that's not a big fiddish. The Me'il is one of the Shemona Begadim. I'm not translating the Me'il because I don't know how to translate it. People always like to correct me when I say I don't know how to translate it. They tell me it's a tunic. But I don't know what tunic is. So it's like people mentioned this before. You know how to say phylacteries in English? I mean, tefillin in English? Yeah, you know what that means? Tefillin, shkayot. Yeah. Good translation. Shavuos in English is Pentecost. Can you imagine wishing someone a happy Pentecost? And then people go a little too far with their translations. So, the key feature of the Me'il is that it has bells. And the point of the bells is to be mashmir kol, to notify you that the kohen is coming. And the take-home message is, you don't catch someone unawares, as the Gemara says. You knock before you enter, even your own home. And even a child, meaning a parent should not go into a child's room without knocking, but a child is also entitled to their privacy and entitled to their privacy. Same thing. I wanted to say before, when I mentioned about taxis, I don't know why this is, but driving brings out the worst manners in people. And if someone cuts you on the highway, they may not be a Lamed Vavnik, but they are not your sworn enemy. And Talmidim here in the Kotel told me that if someone cuts you on the highway, you'll cut 9 other people to cut them back. That's intelligent, at 90 miles an hour. And people say all these expletives, and then you start unspooling in front of children. Get over it. See, you lost a nanosecond. It's not worth a life. The statistics of road rage in America, I'm not going to tell you statistics, I don't remember what they are, but several 100,000 a year are maimed for life because someone can't control themselves. person who cut you is not your enemy. They may not be in Lamed Vavnet, but Rabbi Yerucham the Meir, he'd see someone walking with a shtekin, with a walking stick, he would slow down and not pass the person. And I thought about this, because I swim at night. I'm not trying to let you into my private life. It's just the pool I go to, it's at night that I go. So I don't know if this is all the time, but or just when I'm there at night, there seems to be a disproportionate number of crippled people there. And I don't know if they had polio, although they know when they were children, or they suffered a stroke, but they're clearly paralyzed in something. So I think about this, and I don't want to spritz right past them because they are handicapped. And the water is easy. You can go underwater, you can turn around. But if someone has a disability, not to flaunt it in their face, right? The girl who shows off her engagement ring in front of other girls who wishes they were engaged. That should be obviously inappropriate. Okay, here's another hard one. Consideration means not being late. Everyone knows that if I steal, I'm a thief. You put your hand in your pocket or your pocket, I'm a thief. But people don't seem to be aware of the fact that if I make you wait for me, I'm also a thief. But the crime is far more heinous. Because money you can replace, and time is irreplaceable. And you make a whole shiur wait for you, that's a serious crime. Make a whole yeshiva wait for you, or a whole program wait for you, that's a very serious crime on steroids. Because it's multiplied by each and every person. And I'll tell you two stories. Story number one about the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was putting together a minyan. This was a bare bones minyan, a minyan mitzumtzum, just 10 men. And one of the men was hemming and hawing. He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I'm happy to come to your minyan, but I have an appointment now. If I come to the minyan, I'll be late for my appointment." Said the Chazon Ish, "Go to your appointment." And he said, "You can't daven on stolen time." And that broke the minyan. More contemporaneously, my Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, Shlomo Zalman, was going to be Masada Kedushin out of town. Now this may sound strange to you, but 35 years ago, it was unusual for a religious person to drive in Eretz Yisrael. 40 years ago, it was almost unheard of for a religious person to have a car. And the person who told me the story was the first car in Shari Chesed, Shlomo Zalman's neighborhood. And he offered Shlomo Zalman a ride to the Chasana. And the wedding took place in Petach Tikva. He said, "What time should I pick you up?" He said, "The chuppah is called for 6, pick me up at 4:30. Now, if Shlomo Zalman would get a ride, he was incredibly, almost maniacally grateful to the person who gave him a ride. And I'll tell you why. Besides, he was a very grateful and appreciative person. And by the way, tonight is the yahrzeit of Chaim Shmulevitz. And all of his sichot, and all of sichot musar, the most popular ones are the ones that are hakarat hatov. So that's a good assignment for today. Because had he not had a ride to this wedding in Petach Tikva, it would have meant walking from his neighborhood in Shari Chesed to Machne Yehuda to catch a bus. That's a 20-minute walk for one in good health and in good weather. Not always are both of these conditions fulfilled. Then waiting for a bus to go to the train to the bus station. There a bus to Tel Aviv, and from there a bus to Petach Tikva, and from there a bus to the hall. That's 4 buses: on a bus, off a bus, waiting, pushy, squishy, women, and now it's streamlined to 1.25 hours. He was extremely appreciative. "What time should I pick you up?" "Pick me up at 4:30. Now Shlomo Zalman, the Baruch Chaim Tovin, Rabbi Victor Nevensal, anytime you make up with them to take them somewhere, at that time, precisely, they're outside with the Sefer. Never, ever, ever, ever do you have to wait for them. 4:30 is outside waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting. Waiting and waiting. 4:30, 4:45 o'clock, 5:10. 5:25, the driver's moseying along. I said, "Where were you?" He said, "I couldn't bear the thought. If I would have come on time, the Rosh Yeshiva would have arrived at the wedding as the busboys were setting up the table, as the camera's taking his equipment out of the case." Said Shlomo Zalman, "Don't worry about me. I have plenty of things to do with my time. But we make up a time, you must keep a time." The poor Chatan, there's so much on his mind, he's to worry about, is the Masada Kedushin coming? Is it coming on time? Make up a time, you have to keep a time. And I don't care if you never give me a ride again at a time that it was very hard to get a ride. But we make a time, you have to keep a time. So you'll say to me, "I'm not a Yeki." I hear this all the time. I'm also not a Yeki. But I don't appreciate someone. I don't appreciate waiting for someone. I don't appreciate making someone wait for me. I always tell my wife that on her matzeva they're going to write, "Here lies the late." She'll say, "I'm just by nature a late person. So I'm here to tell you that you don't have to wait for Rosh Hashanah to change. You don't have to wait for Elul." Writes the Vilna Gaon, and Chaim Lozhin writes, "Natama to Nefesh HaChayim," in some bold letters, Our point of life is to improve yourself, and to change and repair and rectify. And if you don't do this, you failed. Strong words. You failed at life. In other words, if at the age of 20, you're not more compassionate and caring and considerate and kind than you were at the age of 17, that's failure. But like all failure, you can fail a class, fail a test and not flunk the course. The language flies from New York to Los Angeles. 85% of the route is constantly, dynamically, perpetually being vectored back on course. But the bottom line is it lands in the right runway, in the right airport, in the right city. It's 100% success. Falling down is not a mistake. Dying down is a mistake. The gym I work out is staffed by Russians that are Hebrew challenged. I was trying to go from the squash court to the pool without getting changed in dress and going outside, and one of them caught me. He said to me, "Ata ta'ut." I think he meant it. Anyways, you are a mistake. I'm still thinking about this. Falling down is not a mistake. Staying down is a mistake. We don't want to fail. Not fail the course. If we failed, we have to rectify. She'll tell me, again, I'm not a prompt person. That's not my nature. I'm not my nature a person who's very polite and considerate and good-natured and a person of character. So I'm here to tell you four examples, four mashalim that I hope will make a difference. Mashal number one, I heard from Rabbi Yosef, a friend. When we were kids, again, I'm only 27, but when we were kids, everybody spoke Lashon Hara. Nowadays, there's a much greater awareness. You might say this may be Lashon Hara but, and then say it, but you don't just come out and say it. The world has changed. I distinctly remember second Seder in Yeshiva, there's a petrochemical layer, yay thick, malodorous, odorific, farstunken, redolent. Nowadays, if you smoke, you're a pariah. Outside in the cold or in the heat, you don't smoke in public places anymore. You watch a movie from the 70s on your neighbor's TV, everybody's smoking. Those days are over. The world has changed. Travel to America very often, just came back. And my host in Brooklyn is a fellow by the name of Pashkes. Very sweet man, Mr. Pashkes. Manufactures candy. And his key clientele, his core clientele, are Hasidim. And if you look at the wrapper of a Pashkes candy bar, there are more Hechsherim than there are ingredients. With no connection, no Shaykhus, no Shatness, no Gezelsman, no Kimmel with Rabbi Minei, no Pagin Kura, no Everything Foolish, no Shaykhus. Mr. Pashkes told me, he's a Jew a couple years older than I am, that when he was a kid, if you didn't see a picture of a PIG, you ate it. Those days are over. You don't just put something in your mouth. You check the ingredients. You look for a hechsher. When we were kids, if it didn't go oink, oink, here. No gelatin, here. Those days are over. The world has changed. My last example, is Oscar Schindler was a dishonest businessman, a womanizer, and he saved over 1,100 Jews during the Holocaust. Had it not been for the latter, if he'd be remembered, and that's a major if, he'd be remembered as a creep. And now the name Schindler is synonymous with heroism, bravery, courage, self-sacrifice, fortitude, synonymous. Like Vaseline means petroleum jelly, and Kleenex means tissues, and Q-tips means cotton swabs, and Band-Aids means plasters. Schindler means self-sacrifice. He changed his name. And we can too. We're not condemned because that's the way we were. We want to be, as I call it, honorable mention. In the world to come, they're not interested in good intentions. They don't want checks. They want receipts. We have to try and cobble on ourselves. That's make the change. Okay, now you live in a dormitory environment. Bad character is much more contagious than good character. Right? Much more kids are influenced to go onto drugs than a good kid is going to influence someone on drugs to get off drugs. So that's why it's incumbent upon a person to try and find yourself always in the best. In other words, you know, if you have a good roommate, you know how it's influencing you. And you probably know, you don't want to admit it, if you have a bad roommate or not the best roommate, it's also having an influence. My chiddush is I teach in seminaries. So now, especially this time of year, people are always asking me where to send their daughter. So I tell them, you know, when you have your first child, everyone is very concerned, you know, to find the right school. Sometimes you live in a town where there's no choice, but sometimes you live in a large metropolitan Jewish area, there is a big choice. Where do you send your kid? So I think they make a mistake because they always say, you know, I want to send, you know, they look at this, the pre-1A and the kindergarten. So I think it's always a good idea. Look at who the graduates are. What is the school producing? Don't just look in the beginning. There's some seminaries, they can offer you the world. But I think the school is embarrassed by the graduates. So that's why you want to make sure you're in an environment where it is productive for you, which is a good influence for you. Because bad character is far more contagious. I'm going to skip a little bit. Not that you would know. Okay, as an aside, I mean, sometimes left to this character. I just recently addressed an annual breakfast to one of the Bikur Chaylims in America. And I gave him a few pointers about Bikur Chaylim. One is that you go and visit someone, let's say in the hospital, I think it's a very wise idea to knock before you enter. Because a patient in the hospital has their privacy invaded all the time by social workers and caregivers and nurses. And it's very empowering to knock on someone. If the door's there's no door, knock on the bed. Next thing is, I want to suggest, when you visit someone, sit down. Because if you're standing up, there's always that sense that you're on a higher elevation than they are. I'm told that very good businessmen, I don't know, very good, very shrewd businessmen, have seats that are sinking. So when you're talking to them, you have that sinking sensation that gives them the upper hand in their negotiations. One other thing which is important is that when you visit someone, you're doing a mitzvah, don't look at your watch. It's very impolite. So what do people do? They try and do it in a clever way, like that also doesn't work. Also, this is really more unique to Israeli hospitals, but in Israel there's this whole symposium. Like, you go visit someone, they have symposiums, like doctor said, take these pills, so everybody gets it together, shouldn't we take it, you know, where like everyone has to condemn the doctor or the nurse or the whole hospital. This is so unproductive. Unless you really know something is seriously wrong, then deal with it. But otherwise, all you do is cause the person to lose faith in their caregivers. Okay. The Gemara says in Brachos, Nunches, who's a good guest, who's a bad guest? So a good guest says, look how much they've done for me. Look how much they care for me. Look how much they troubled for me. And a bad guest says, and I'm translating verbatim, they only gave me one piece of meat. They only gave me one slice of bread. They only gave me one cup of wine. They didn't do it for me. They only wanted to impress their wife and children. We don't want to go through life as a poor guest. And how do you get this attitude? My friend pointed out, you go to a simcha in someone's house, be it a Sheva Brachot or a L'chaim. These people work very hard that you should have a good time. They prepare for hours, maybe days, you should have a good time. And what happens? And the car driving home is the post-mortem. Salads, atrocious. Home decorating, appalling. Kids, very misbehaved. Children, I mean, Shalom Bayis, people worked hard for you. So you don't have something positive to say, then, I have another suggestion. If you don't have something positive to say, wait 24 hours. Don't be an ingrate from the rooftops. Wait 24 hours, then you can bellyache. It'll cool off. But if someone works hard, don't right away sound off what didn't appeal to you. Have that minimal dercheretz. Okay. I think our time has lapsed. The cake is cut. I'll just almost cut. All right. We all know the Gemara says, Chavi Vadim Shenivra B'Tzelem. It is human nature. I can't swear it's human nature. It is my nature. And I'm working very hard on myself in this. That we have a tendency to respect someone who is very influential and powerful right away. And we're warmer to someone who's very influential and affluent, and we're much cooler towards someone of a lower social stature. For example, you meet someone who's a partner in a law firm with 500 lawyers that work there, that's very impressive. And someone else pumps gas in a gas station. That's not impressive. And then you learn, that this fancy, delancy, schmancy lawyer is an abusive husband and a distant father, and your image tanks. And the guy who pumps gas is a lovely guy, and his children adore him, your image goes up. And our problem is that we always associate right away from the first impression. So it's not my place to say this. That's a gimmick of speakers to get people's attention. But through omission or commission, we do this. So I'm going to tell you a story which is a true story, meaning it's not an email that went around, it really happened. This happened to my friend Yessel Chapnik, who lives in Borough Park. Yassel was having his house painted by a black painter one morning, and they were taking all the paintings off the wall. It would have been rather ridiculous to leave them on the wall. And one of the blow-ups was an enlargement of the Bava Rebbe. And the black painter said to my friend Yassel, "Is this your rabbi?" He said, "No." He said, "Why isn't he your rabbi?" "He's not my rabbi. Let's get on with the job." "But why isn't he your rabbi?" "He's not my rabbi. He's a big rabbi. I put him on the wall. Let's get on with the cotton picking." "But why isn't he your rabbi? He's not my rabbi. Let's get on with the job." "But why is he here? He's not my rabbi. He's a big rabbi. There's a lot of big rabbis. I put this rabbi on the wall. He's got a big... It's not... He looks good. I like him. But why is he here? He's not my rabbi." And then the black painter said, "He's my rabbi." Then he pulls out his wallet and whips out a photograph of the Bava Rebbe. He said, "What the cop?" He said, "I'll tell you." He said, "One morning I was painting his house. He came home and he said to me, 'Did you have breakfast?' I said, 'No.' He said, 'Sit down.' He waited upon me. Then he said to me, 'I want to tell you something.' I knew just what he was going to say. I heard the shmooze a million times. He's going to tell me I'm paying you good money. I want a perfect job." And the Rebbe said to me, "We once had the rule of perfection. And everything was the way it was supposed to be. But because of our sins, we lost the temple. And ever since, we've never had the rule of perfection. So I can't ask you to do a perfect job, but I'd like you to try your hardest." You know how these people recommend? He gave me hundreds of his chassidim. No one ever offered me breakfast. But they all say to me, "I'm paying you good money, I want a perfect job." And I say to them, "You want a perfect job? There's no temple. How do you want a perfect job?" Rav Rabotai, Sebi Shal Salanter, you can speak Musa for half an hour, and it's all worthwhile, even if one person listens, even that one person is the speaker. Even though I ended, it's very rabbinic to end several times. One more example. There are two famous orators. One was a Greek, one was a Roman. I'll let you figure out who was who. Demosthenes and Cicero. When Demosthenes would finish his speech, they'd say, "Great speech." When Cicero finished, they'd say, "Let's march." So, Rabosai, we want to be what I call honorable mention. People with their heretz, with character. Let's march. I use this opportunity to remind everyone here that Hanukkah is a break in the winter, and this year we have a longer winter in Iberyar. So everyone who has, you know, the brains in their head, they know now's the time to mechazek themselves and not let this man slip by. Mechazek. And a reminder that if you want to learn about Gedol Yisrael every night, once a week on Monday nights, here at 6 o'clock, we talk about Gedol Yisrael. And afterwards we have a Bekiah Shir in Sanhedrin. Shabbat shalom. Yeah.